There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Pod Diva. One fateful day in a nondescript branch of WH Smith, I find Diva. Actually, maybe that's the wrong way round. Perhaps it is Diva that finds me. Because make no mistake, Diva is a magazine that wants to find those who need it most. Diva strives to be a glorious, galvanising beacon of hope and rage and lust and joy for sapphics everywhere. Diva wants to let us know that despite what we may have been led to believe, we are not alone. Nor are we broken. On the contrary, we are many and we are magnificent. So Diva really did change my life. As its reader, Diva taught me that I was not alone. As its writer, Diva held a space where my voice was truly valued. And as its editor, you showed me just how mighty we are when we stand together, united in celebration and solidarity. For that, I cannot thank you enough.
Diva Magazine's editor-in-chief, Roxy Bourdillon, people, round of applause, reading two passages from her incredibly heartfelt, personal, and really stirring editor's letter in this month's issue of Diva Magazine. Now, here on Pod Diva, Diva's very own podcast, we are digging into April's issue of Diva Magazine, something we do every time a new magazine flies hot off the press, and this one is really hot. I mean, this one's on fire. Here on the Diva Debrief, that's what we do. It's like one gorgeous glossy in your ear. Yes, this ear, dear listener, right here. But this time around, it's a particularly important issue of the magazine, as the spectacular cover shows. Oh my goodness, what a cover. It's Diva's 30th birthday party this month, all month. That's when you know you're something special, just like the Queen. When you've reached the dizzying Diva heights of regal jubilees, your birthday bonanza continues for a whole month of celebrations and parties. Diva is the Queen of Queer, which makes you, our right royal Roxy, our sovereign crown, encrusted with Ruby Tuesday lipstick and shining bright like a diamond wherever you deign to deliver, the wonderful Roxy Bourdillon. And that makes me a kind of lady in waiting. My name is Rachel Shelley. You may know me from TV's The L Word, and I look after all things pod over here in audio land. Now, Roxy, I read your editor's letter, and I have to say, I got a little choked up. I've been spending a lot of time looking back through the magazines as well, and we'll come to the reason why I've been doing that a bit later. It was really moving. I really felt the 30 years, the gravity of that in grassroots publishing. I mean, so beautifully written and so beautifully read. Thank you, Roxy. I just wondered, although the best thing anyone could do is to pick up the magazine and read that letter, I wonder if you could talk a little bit more how it feels to be in charge at Diva HQ at the moment, Roxy.
Oh, thank you, Rachel. I'm so glad that you enjoyed my editor's letter for this historic, or should it be herstoric, 30th anniversary issue of Diva. Thank you. That really does mean a lot. It was a personal one. It was a personal letter. The letter talks about the way that Diva has changed my life, both as a reader when I first discovered it, and it made me feel seen and less alone in a really powerful, powerful way as a writer, when I finally found a space where I felt that my voice was valued. And then as its editor, as I say in the letter, then the people who've actually taught me the most are the readers. So it is also, I hope, a tribute to the magnificence and the power and the community and the spirit of our readers that I find really, really gorgeous. So how does it feel being in charge of Diva now? It's a full circle moment. And I think that because I'm the editor now, but I have been the reader, I really have firsthand knowledge how reading Diva can be a really powerful and extremely intimate personal act. It's a conversation between a reader and a magazine, but it also, I always think, it's a bit of a conversation with yourself if you're reading it as a queer person. Mm. I know how life-changing it can be to have a physical magazine or to be reading this magazine filled with images and words that speak to your identity in a world where you still are all too often othered. So it's a deeply personal job. It can be a very full-on job. It can be very consuming, and it can be at times challenging. But I think something that motivates me and inspires me to keep going when it is tough is to remember to come back to that key relationship between the reader and the magazine, and to remember the power of Diva. So that's something I feel really passionate about.
Yeah. And I think it's really interesting what you say there about the reader and Team Diva, in a way that other magazines, we've touched on this before, in the way that other magazines are often like, this is produced and here you are, you go off and consume. Diva is much more of a team. Like you say, it is a conversation. The readers are involved because it's their lives much more intimately captured. It feels like Team Diva includes the readers. A sort of symbiosis there. And of course, your job, Roxy, although you produce this magazine, you do so many other things now as well. I mean, you're on panels, you go to awards, you do speaking events, you do a whole lot of other stuff. Diva is like multi-platform. Mm. I mean, I know in this month of April, you've got a lot coming up.
So you're right. The writing and the editing is enough to keep you very busy, but there's a lot of other there's a lot of other strands to my Diva bow as well. I do a lot of speaking engagements and panel events, conferences or events or meetings where I meet with the community and with readers. And that stuff's all really wonderful, because it is like bringing what we're doing in the pages of Diva to life in a real community setting, which is really exciting. It is extremely busy. So I'm speaking to you as we are deep, deep in like the build up to our big month of April.
Woohoo!
Diva, indeed, 30th birthday celebrations. We've also got Lesbian Visibility Week at the end of April. So we have got an awful lot coming up in the Diva calendar. We've got the Diva Awards. We've got the Workplace Conference, all sorts of different events coming up, which I'm really, really excited about. But yes, for me personally, the page is crucially important and the writing and the editing is crucially important. But it is wonderful to see how Diva has grown and expanded throughout the years, and how we are a magazine still at our heart, but we're also so much more. And that's really exciting.
Yeah, it is. Diva has become this community. It's a platform. It's huge. And it covers so many different platforms now. It's amazing. And this issue of the magazine has two gorgeous double spread pages focusing on the 30-year anniversary. And it's beautifully written by your right royal resplendentness, Roxy, just like the glorious celebratory cover, which I was very proud to see my cover made it to the cover. So thank you very much. Thank you for choosing that amongst all the others, all the other gorgeous, gorgeous covers. These pages have to be seen to be believed. There's no other way to really get a sense of them, but obviously to see them. I mean, ideally, you want to pick them up and touch them. And I think I'm right in saying that you can buy a lot of these vintage covers, can't you?
Yeah.
But also between the sheets, what's between the pages is really interesting. I've been really enjoying looking back through them. But coming back to this issue, nestled in amongst your words, I love seeing how the design and the aesthetic has evolved and changed over the years. And like I say, I've tried to capture it in audio, but you can't. Even just feeling the old paper, you know, that smell that some of them have when the paper starts to decay a little bit, makes that sort of slightly sweet, musty old smell. Obviously, the technical side of printing has moved on, but so has the content. I mean, I got quite lost in so many of them on so many levels recently, so nostalgic. I go down these rabbit holes of discovery. How was it for you, Roxy, looking back? Were you doing it digitally for the most part, or were you touching the actual magazines?
Some of it I was rifling through the digital virtual archive, but I do have some of the old school back issues. I've got some certainly from the early noughties and the late 90s. So I did also get to grips with those old magazines. I find them really emotive. I find them really nostalgic. And I always think about the visceral power of the experience I have as a queer person, as a lesbian, holding proof of my foremothers, holding proof of my community, holding the written, printed documentation that we are here, we are queer, and we have been for a long time, and we will continue to be. I find that quite a moving experience, but I just love it. Like, I'm very into history anyway. I'm a magazine nerd, so it's always such a treat, any excuse to go and rummage around Diva's back catalogue. And yeah, you're right. It is so fun seeing how the design's changed, how the paper's changed, how the size of it's changed.
Yes.
How, you know, all of that is really fascinating. Watching this magazine, this community, this aesthetic develop over the years. I love it. And some of them are so like retro in a really fantastic way. Like those proper 90s ones. Yeah.
Really beautiful. Do you have the magazine that has your first article in it? You keep that? I wonder which one that is.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. So I have my complete, you know, Diva Museum of all the issues that I've contributed to. I have them on a special Diva shelf. My first time I had an article in Diva, I believe it was an issue in 2016 with Taylor Schilling at the height of Orange is the New Black fame.
Yeah.
Like a funny opinion piece, the first of many. It was about queering Shakespeare. That's it. There'd just been some big production of Shakespeare where they had Titania was getting a bit sapphic, and I was very excited by that. So I wrote something all about Much Ado About Shakespeare, and I think I was...
Shakespeare, I love it.
Yeah, making a lot of filthy sapphic puns, I imagine. But yeah, that was my first time, I think, that I was in the print magazine.
Oh, we love those filthy sapphic puns. Long may they continue.
Indeed.
It's really interesting because I wrote my dissertation at university about queer Shakespeare. But I'd never thought of the Shakespeare.
Yeah.
I wish I had. I wish I'd put that in. I might have got a first instead of a 2-1. Yeah, do you have a favourite though? I know it's really hard to choose between your babies, but do you have a favourite cover? Not just of yours that you've put together, but from... How many is it?
Right, so the anniversary issue is 324.
Wow, 324. So of those 324, do you have a favourite, Roxy?
So I can't answer without offending 323 people.
Exactly, exactly. But obviously, okay, so obviously mine is your favourite, but past that,
indeed.
When you go below that, do you have a favourite? It could, you know, for whatever reason.
I have a lot of favourites. I certainly have a lot that have a special place in my heart that while I've been editor or while I've been on staff at Diva, I certainly have a lot that I feel emotionally connected to. I don't know, if I was going to choose my favourites, not counting the years I've been here.
Right, okay.
It's less likely to offend anybody. I think it'd be the ones which I remember from, if we go back to when I'm talking about me as a reader discovering Diva.
Yeah.
And it's the ones I remember secretly, like, you know, going and buying, tucking secretly in my bag, not wanting... That sounds like a shoplifter. I didn't shoplift, I just didn't want anyone to see. Didn't want anyone to see Diva. No crimes were committed, but if they were very gay.
No Diva magazines were stolen in the making of this Diva editor.
exactly. But it's those ones I remember, and I can picture myself in my sort of teenage bedroom at my mum's place in Leeds, and I can picture myself reading. And I remember that Chance Chizelska was the editor then, and I remember reading Chance's editor's letters. The ones that really stay in my mind are the ones where they've got a really strong, striking cover. And to be honest with you, they're normally the sex issue,
right,
or the body issue.
Yeah.
Or they had one where they got as many naked sapphics as they could on the cover.
Yes.
All these sort of things. So those ones really are like very strong in my mind.
Yes.
Of the ones that I remember from back in the day.
Lovely. Lovely. One of my favourites is a quite a recent one, is the Amber Whittington one in June last year. Just for the visuals.
Oh, yes.
I mean, I'm just talking about an actual striking visual. Mm. I thought that was so beautiful with the dark background and the rainbow. It's just, it was, for me, summed up the diva spirit. It's like strong, powerful, but also with the rainbow. So it's kind of, there's the queer joy there. It was, I thought that was a really beautiful one. I really loved Lady Phil's cover as well. January 2022. I mean, what a photo shoot. That whole shoot was just the images alone.
Oh, yeah. That one's a real corker.
I mean, not that I know Lady Phil, but I've met her several times and she's amazing. And then to see her pictured like that was just, I thought that was really good. I also love that Margaret Cho one. You know, the comedian. That one.
Oh, yeah.
Just because I think she's hilarious. She makes me laugh. She doesn't have to even say anything. I just think she has funny bones. And it's been one of my taglines that I've always used, is that everybody little bit gay. I've always loved that. I've always thought that's hilarious. But I also really like that Jennifer Beals cover from 2010. Mm-hmm. One where she's biting her finger and her hair's all big and it's like green sepia. That was just a really gorgeous photo of her. Mm. And she looked really happy. She looked like herself to me. Supremely confident and relaxed and gorgeous. So yes, if you've got a favorite, listeners, you can buy one, go online.
Oh my God, definitely. Like, find your favorite issue and track it down. You can get an awful lot of them via www.divadirect.info. You can also download a lot from the digital archive through divadigital.co.uk, or if you download the Diva app on your phone. Mm. And if you can't find the cover that you are lusting after, for example, Jennifer Beals looking absolutely gorgeous in 2010. If you can't find that on Diva Direct or Diva Digital, then, you know, eBay.
Yeah.
You do find people, or like there's some secondhand magazine floggers and they flog sort of archive issues. And I have seen a fair few divas in those as well.
Now, one of the fascinating aspects of flicking through the back catalogue for me, Roxy, it was really funny to see the classifieds are at the back of all the magazines. I mean, of course, now we're totally digital. These are completely redundant because you can get access to anyone, anywhere in the world, just in your little handheld computer. But back then, before that, before the interweb, this is a real time when people actually lived in Technicolor. It's not a black and white world. It's relatively recent. None of that existed. And so you had to rely on magazines like Diva to go to the back pages. Yeah. I read a thing where Heather Peace said when she first came to London, that's what she used, the back of Diva magazine, to see where are other women meeting. I think it's hilarious that now that doesn't exist. And there's a lot of, I don't know, millennials and Generation Zs. They know nothing about this. Yeah. Lonely Hearts, it's all your fetishes, all your private messages, massages, each one had been sent in to Diva. So actually put in the post, and each one was opened by hand and curated and read. And it makes me so nostalgic. Yeah. There's Fairy Goth Mother, who offers corsetry, gowns, lingerie and latex.
Fabulous.
Dykes Delight, bed and breakfast, overlooking Somerset Dykes and Levels. Huge bed, it says. And it's a bargain at £15. Just £15. And then this one. Make public your passion for your favourite furry friend with this zany I love my pussy t-shirt, only $14.99.
I'd pay $14.99 just to hear you saying I love my pussy, darling.
It's like a treasure trove of weird and wonderful little phrases. All of that, it really messes with my space-time continuum. Do you know what I mean? I'm investigating the archive and I'm losing myself in all these retro designs. I'm turning back time to the 90s and the noughties. You say at the end of your celebration of 30 years, Roxy, do you want to read that, please, Roxy?
So, yes, we have come a long way, but there is still a hell of a long way to go. 30 years since it burst onto newsstands in a blaze of sapphic glory. We need Diva now more than ever.
And that is the stark truth. The investigation I've been doing into the archive, I've realised it's so many steps forward and so many steps back. At the same time, it seems like they're existing in parallel, progression and repression continuing in footfall with each other.
You're so right, what you've just said about progression and repression going hand in hand. And I think it's interesting because 30 years, you know, we have come a long way and we've got so much more queer visibility. But with that, I think comes queer vulnerability. And it really is alarming when you look at the hate crime statistics, when you look at transphobia that's so widespread in the mainstream media and in our own government, when you look at racism and biphobia, even within our own community. And when you look at legally, yeah, gay people can get married now, okay, but the conversion therapy ban that we've been promised has still failed to materialise, you know?
Awful.
So legally even, we still have got a long way to go. And the rights of intersex and asexual people, they need to have the same rights as well.
Yeah.
And that's just talking on UK soil. If we go further afield, there's still so much to be alarmed about, angry about, and to try and take action to change, because we do need Diva now more than ever, because it's not all rosy out there. There's a lot to celebrate, but there's a lot to stand in solidarity and fight for.
Absolutely. And I think because Diva does exist on all these different platforms, it can reach where a younger Diva couldn't, you know, reach other parts of the world where they couldn't before. Mm. I see people listen to this all over the world, literally. But also they can read Diva all over the world, but it needs to be different parts of the world developing or not progressing. And it's very sad, but luckily Diva is there now for the whole world to read and to enjoy. Now, Roxy, with the recent rise in sapphic fiction and TV and books and art, even the world 30 years ago seems like another planet, another universe even, which younger listeners must feel is so unimaginable. Here's a story about two women who met at a time when they didn't have any cultural references to tell them who they were. Two young, confident women who were completely adrift until they found each other. Now, I really love this month's Beyond Borders, a love story that spans the same era, the same 30 years that Diva's been around, and bridges the void of representation into a new era where they have now chosen to live their lives free of heterocultural expectations. And it's also truly beyond borders. We're hearing from two women, Stephanie and Juliet, who, although now married, actually live on either side of a border. They are beyond borders from each other, even not just beyond the UK's borders. It's a little bit Romeo and Juliet, except it's Stephanie and Juliet. And they're not really star-crossed, because this long-distance relationship thing is a choice they've made together. Let's have a listen, and you'll see what I mean. Pod Diva.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Pod Diva.
Bonjour.
Hello.
Je m'appelle Juliette.
My name is Juliette.
Je suis née à Paris.
I was born in Paris.
J'ai 54 ans.
I'm 54.
Je vis à Berlin depuis 15 ans.
I've been a teacher in Berlin for 15 years.
Et je me définis comme lesbienne.
And I define myself as a lesbian.
Bonjour, je m'appelle Stéphanie.
Hello, my name is Stéphanie. J'ai 51 ans. I'm 51.
Je suis née en France d'une mère allemande et d'un père
français. I was born in France to a German mother and a French father.
Je travaille au service de l'accueil des publics du Centre Pompidou à Paris.
I work in the visitor service department at the Centre Pompidou in Paris.
Et je me définis comme lesbienne depuis ma rencontre avec Juliette.
And I've defined myself as a lesbian since I met Juliette.
Je t'aime.
I became a lesbian when I met Stéphanie.
Je t'aime.
Almost by chance and quite late in life.
I was 27 when I first met Juliette in Paris. One evening in February 2000, she arrived by bike, her cheeks reddened by the cold, her sparkling eyes, her smiling face with its long curly black hair, and her enthusiasm made me want to get to know her.
We hit it off straight away and fell in love very quickly.
She was immediately welcomed into this group of women and seemed to feel at ease from the moment she arrived.
I was no longer as apprehensive as I had been with boys. I was confident.
At the end of the rehearsal, we left in the car with some of the choristers, and Juliette followed us for a while on her bike. At the back of the car, we waved at her, and one of the choristers whispered to me, "Juliette is pretty, isn't she?" And I nodded.
With Stéphanie, I was myself, and I wanted to see her all the time.
The following week, we met again at the rehearsal and exchanged phone numbers. From that moment on, we never stopped seeing each other.
We had a great bond and soon became inseparable.
Juliette was curious and funny and talked about everything with great enthusiasm.
I was learning to roller skate at the time.
Juliette was very sporty and used to take me rollerblading in the streets of Paris.
And between two falls into the gutter, I'd meet her at work. She worked at a Gaumont cinema on Avenue de la Motte Piquet near the Tour Eiffel, which no longer exists. Not the Tour Eiffel, but the cinema.
2 months after our first meeting, one evening when I was finishing my work at the cinema box office, I looked up and saw her sitting in the hall, smiling broadly and holding her skates in her hand. We hadn't planned to see each other this evening, but the joy I felt at that moment and above all my heartbeat didn't deceive me. I was in love with Juliette.
Je t'aime.
But the first time we date, I did think, whoa, it's weird, it's not a boy.
I felt overwhelmed by a mixture of confusion, pleasure and fear. We continued to see each other regularly, and a few days later, I declared my love for her.
Je t'aime.
She didn't know what to say, was as embarrassed as I was, and her reaction was finally legitimate when she said, but I'm straight, I mean, I'm not a lesbian. And I replied, neither am I.
Did I know I was a lesbian before Stephanie? I don't know. My brother told me he suspected it for a very long time. He could have told me, really. It would have saved me precious time.
I came out to my family very quickly. I felt it was vital to do so because I wanted to be honest with myself and with the people I love.
I came out, but I didn't know I was doing it. In fact, I never thought of hiding it from my family. I love the truth too much.
Above all, I wanted to reassure my mother, who was worried that I wasn't at home when she phoned me. But I was with Juliette and I was happy.
I decided to tell my father first. I invited my mother. I think she always hoped I'd grew out of it. She's still struggling there after 54 years, even though she adores Stephanie.
In 2006, we went to live in Berlin for a year.
I arrived in Berlin in 2006 with Stephanie for a year.
Then I came back to work in Paris and Juliette was taken on as a teacher at a school in Berlin.
And since then, I've been in Berlin and Stephanie in Paris.
After making the decision to live in another country, we freed ourselves from cultural barriers.
One day in November 2008, Stephanie, my partner at the time and now my wife, came home and told me the L word was almost going to change our lives. I absolutely had to see it.
In 2008, the discovery of the L word coincided with the start of our life between Berlin, where Juliette works as a teacher, and Paris, where I'm employed at the Centre Pompidou Museum.
How we stayed up all night to watch the episode over and over again. How excited and emotional we were. Our traditional culture does not include gender culture. It even deliberately excludes us. We didn't know about the few books or films that already existed on the subject. We had no idea, but the L word swept all that away. It was a revolution, really.
Talking, laughing, loving, breathing, fighting, fucking, crying, drinking, riding, winning, losing, cheating, kissing, thinking, dreaming.
This long-distance life threw us, and we've always managed to find a balance in our relationship.
For a long time, we saw each other very regularly.
But in 2020, COVID separated us for 3 months.
There was a COVID, which deprived us of each other for several months.
Because Juliette couldn't come to France and I couldn't go to Germany. That was a complicated situation.
I had even imagined crossing the border on foot.
And when it was finally possible for us to get back together and resume our rhythm of life, I was diagnosed with breast cancer.
Now there's an illness.
And had to undergo a long course of treatment. I was finally able to go back to work and Juliette and I started traveling again. We also decided to get married.
We even got married.
Which we did on 24th October 2023. Unfortunately, 5 days before the wedding, I learned that the disease had returned to my bones and that I would have to start chemotherapy again.
We'll have to make a decision one day. I'm a bit dreading the moment.
In these moments of struggle and with the support of the people you love, you discover many resources within yourself that you never knew existed.
But it could be an opportunity for renewal.
Creation is one of my driving forces. I love art, I love music, I love words, I love reading Simone de Beauvoir, Virginia Woolf, and Colette. I love the poetry of René Vivien.
For me, being lesbian is my main identity. It changes the way I look at the world, the way I look at myself.
I love the word of Paris Lesbos.
I also like the word lesbian very much. It's very evocative. Lesbos, the poetry, the Greece, the island, the sea, the sun.
I like to strum my guitar, and I love also Michel Bernard, who sings a hymn to love, Je t'aime.
Ah, Roxy Bourdillon, je t'aime. Thank you so much, Stephanie and Juliet. They told me in an email that they recorded these miles apart, but with all their heart. And I like to think of that as a simple, beautiful love story. Stephanie and Juliet, they live 656 miles apart. That's the distance from France's capital city to Germany's creative capital. And I love that line that they say about making the decision to live in another country, we freed ourselves from cultural barriers. And I love so much about this piece. I love the way they say inseparable and evocative. And it's beautiful. That, I mean, it's so lovely. Do you speak French, Roxy, with your name, Bourdillon?
Oh, I mean, I can only speak a little bit, and I am nowhere near as fabulous at French as, understandably, the lovely French people who've recorded this gorgeous Beyond Borders, Stéphanie et Juliette.
Stéphanie et Juliette.
But I do love it. And doesn't everything sound better in French?
Oh, yes, absolutely.
Sounds so good.
I mean, I really do feel like it's a bit of a Romeo as Juliette.
Yes.
Stéphanie as Juliette.
Indeed.
Really beautiful. And many thanks also to the band Betty for their super kind permission to use the L Word theme song there, which was recorded in Leicester Square on the women's stage, as well as to Stephanie herself, because I've included one of her songs in this feature, a track called Absence that Stephanie wrote based on the poetry of René Vivien. Do you know anything about René Vivien? Roxy?
Ooh, so I'll tell you what I know about Renée. So she was a British poet born in London, but she wrote in French. And she died when she was very young. She was in her early 30s and she'd written a ton of Belle Époque verses. And they were stormy and passionate, kind of dealt with how she'd had some really racy love affairs with baronesses and heiresses. But unfortunately, she also had a lot of heartbreak, hence the poems. But they're definitely, definitely worth reading.
Stephanie and Juliet talk about creativity. I think Stephanie says at some point that is her motivating force, the creative world. I thought there was a very lovely article by Ella Gorsi called The Erotic Evolution of Sapphic Smut. I thought it was just a great title as much as anything. Wondered if you could read a little snippet of the article. I don't mean the bit where Anne Lister snips a lock of her lover's pubic hair, Roxy, which we've talked about before. Anne Lister really was riding her own pony, wasn't she? I mean, she really was. She was in her own world. I mean, could you please read the bit at the end, if you wouldn't mind, that Ella writes?
Don't let historians fool you. Sapphic smut is not a new invention. It's just now we have more synonyms for boobs, more metaphors for orgasms, and more pages we can dedicate to celebrating the beauty of boning.
I love all that, because it is, it's like high literature, it's very well, and you feel like you have to speak it in a certain way, and then you just throw in a little bit of smut. It's really quite glorious, it really is. Who are some of your favourite writers, Roxy, smut or otherwise?
Oh, I've got so many. I feel I should say, I don't exclusively read queer writers, but I do enjoy some fabulous queer writers. I love the classics. I love horny old Anne Lister with trimming people's pubes. She's always good for a laugh. I love, like, you know, Emily Dickinson and Sappho. Oh, and Vita and Virginia. Vita Sackville-West and Virginia Woolf with all of their queer longing. And I do enjoy the old ones. I mean, there's a lot of fantastic contemporary queer authors who are doing brilliant work. People like Joelle Taylor, who's absolutely awesome. People like Laura Kay, people like Tanya Byrne, who's in this issue.
Yeah.
Like, there's some really talented and fantastic queer authors who I feel like are enjoying a bit of a golden rush of queer literature. But then I do like the oldies as well from back in the day, because it does remind you we've always been here and we've always been horny.
Yeah, absolutely. And there's a great amount of literature in the magazine this issue. There's a lot of writers in there, lots of talk about books. And of course, sapphic fiction is said to have this upsurge, like this swing in sapphic fiction. It's huge at the moment. For example, the author of last year's book, Diket, which is by Jenny Fran Davis. Have you read that?
I've not read it. It's on my to-be-read pile. I don't think I've read Diket yet, but I think I've heard about it.
So she said that even 5 or 10 years ago, the title alone would have scared publishers. Just 5 or 10 years ago. And she says now this book, it's a comedy of manners, has become this really buzzy, zeitgeisty phenomenon in the literary world. It's really blown up. A lot of the reasons for this upsurge is that younger readers are generally more open about gender and identity. There's a new generation of authors who happily embrace these queer themes. And apparently, during COVID, there was a literary pocket of TikTok that just exploded. And it was just raining down LGBT books everywhere. There was a sea of LGBTQIA stories, a deluge of diva-esque delights, a flood of queer fiction, you could say. I mean, in the magazine, we have Wedded Wife, A Female History of Marriage by Rachel Lennon, which slides very nicely into our themes of history and the evolution within our community.
So we've got loads of fabulous writers and authors celebrated in this issue. I think as well as it being a celebration of 30 years of Diva and 30 years for our community, it is also a celebration of literature, queer literature. You know, Diva is a, I don't know, I feel a bit pretentious saying literature, but it's, you know, it's a publication. It's full of words. It's full of writers.
No,
isn't
it is. Of course it is. Absolutely.
Absolutely. So we're celebrating the brilliance of writers in our community as well in this issue, I think. So we've got things like, I was lucky enough to interview the brilliant Tanya Byrne, who is a Brighton-based author, and she's got a fantastic new young adult book called In the Shallows that I really, really recommend. I really love talking to Tanya. She was hilarious and very cool.
She's lovely.
Yeah, she's great. And then we've got, the author of The Start of Something, which is a fantastic new novel. Holly Williams wrote a really interesting article for us about her experience of writing not just one sex scene, but 10 sex scenes in her very inclusive and very fabulous new book,
which is based on a really old play called La Ronde, where it's all about couples and one person moves on into the next little story and comes full circle to the beginning and how we're all connected.
And then we've also got Nick interviewed, our deputy editor Nick Crossara interviewed Gabrielle Korn about Gabrielle's new novel, Yours for the Taking. And that's a really fantastic interview. We've got, there's so many.
And Lucia Kerskine, our favourite deadpan comic. She's the writer and star of BBC TV's Things You Should Have Done, which is very funny. It's a dysfunctional family sitcom. She's only 23 or 24 years old. I mean, she's younger than Diva. It's crazy. Plus, we have Sana Asin, a queer Muslim psychologist, poet, writer. That's not a hyphenation you hear very often. And their book of poetry focusing on homophobia and Islamophobia. And then we also have These Letters End in Tears by Musiteji Xavier. I hope I've pronounced that correctly. Here's a quote from the book. I grew up in a small village in northwest Cameroon where everyone had a script written out for them before they were born on how their lives would unfold. Any behaviour that did not align with the script was criticised and condemned, and the country's laws still criminalise same-sex relationships. Now, Roxy.
Yes.
Regal, royal, resplendent, radiant, Ruby Tuesday, Roxy. Can you tell me a little about what we have coming up on Pod Diva later this month?
Absolutely. So we have an interview with the awesome girly, the pop punk superstar, famous for the very decadent music video that accompanies the single Matriarchy. And girly has been talking to our very own Ella Gorsey. So that's one not to be missed.
We also have another wonderful relationship room episode coming up featuring Diva's awesome own Ali Hendry. And this time Ali is talking to Jai Bristow about gender expression. And Jai is a multi-ethnic, queer, disabled DEIJB coach and consultant.
And we have an episode with the brilliant, very talented Gabrielle Korn, who is the author of Yours for the Taking. We've got fans including the amazing Tegan and Sarah. Gabrielle is really fantastic. She's such a great writer. She used to be the editor of Nylon magazine. And you're going to love that conversation which Gabrielle had with our wonderful deputy editor, Nick Crossara.
Also, and this is what I've been spending my time on this last week. Yeah. I've been surrounded by a sea of vintage Diva magazines and workflow spreadsheets and a whole rainbow of colours. Pod Diva is also celebrating 30 years of Diva magazine with something we're calling 30 by 30. We are celebrating the 30 years of Diva in 30 days. That is to say, throughout the entire month of April. So every day we're doing a whistle-stop guided time train tour of the year through the eyes of Diva magazine and its readers.
Toot toot!
Toot toot! So we're saying who was on the cover, what's between the sheets, what the big talking points were in pop culture, so in TV and film and exhibitions and all that. And then there's politics, any legislation around the world, the first and last, that kind of thing. It's a pretty huge undertaking, I've realised, and I'm not doing it completely alone. The wonderful Ella Gorsey is writing and editing alongside me. And of course, we're getting the whole team involved. You included, dear Roxy, voicing daily episodes that I like to call micropods. They're about 4 or 5 minutes long and they're fun, they're fast, and sometimes they're a teeny bit furious every now and then when we have cause to be. So they start on April 1st. Hurrah! But we're no fools. The first one will drop after midday.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. It's going to be so, so good. 30 by 30. Just as much fabulous plunging into the Diva archives as you can imagine. I cannot wait to hear that, Rachel. That's going to be brilliant.
All aboard.
Okay, and I'm getting on the time train. Toot, toot. Toot, toot. All aboard.
Until then, dear Diva listener, whether you've been with us for 30 years or 30 minutes, thank you for listening and supporting grassroots media, so vital in these times of warping evolution. And we will see you again in a fabulous fortnight's time.
Thank you so much for listening. You are part of our Diva family. So happy 30th birthday to Diva and happy birthday to you, my darlings. And we will speak to you again soon.
Yay.
Pod Diva.
Thank you for listening to Pod Diva in association with Diva Magazine, the world's leading brand for LGBTQIA plus women and non-binary people. Every fortnight, we bring you new interviews from a vast range of fabulous people, celebrating and amplifying the voices of the LGBTQIA plus community. Browse our extensive back catalogue of episodes to find your favourites, from Jennifer Beals to Abby Jacobson. It's like one gorgeous, glossy magazine in your ear. Please share, rate or review us. It really does help. You can find us on Acast or wherever you get your podcasts. And you can email me at editorial@diva-magazine.com. Pod Diva. Queers for your ears.
Pod Diva.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.